Welcome to the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf filling in once again for Vic Nizar. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. You can text in 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Got Elon Chark here. We got Ben Bisran here. I think only physically, because mentally, I think all he's thinking about is the Masters right now. We'll get into that as the show goes on. We'll get into the Canucks. We'll be joined by Dave Pignota as well of the fourth period to talk about everything going on around the NHL, including some news out of Vegas, and we'll get more into the Utah Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes situation and everything going on there. But we will start with the tea.
Canucks lose 4-3 to the Arizona Coyotes in overtime last night at Rogers Arena.
Tough.
Concern level rising a little bit. I know it's the dog days of the season. We're clinched, but 5-5 in the last 10. We lost to Arizona. We lost to Vegas. We lost to the Kings twice. Josh, how are we feeling?
The same as I was before. And like, when they beat Vegas, I tried not to get like too high on everything they were doing. And you know what? It was a good result. It was a great result against Vegas. It's kind of the same against Arizona, where it's the opposite, of course. You didn't want this to happen, and you're playing a non-playoff team. You should beat them most of the time. But at the same time, I think the Canucks played a very good game last night. They deserved to win. Arizona got some good bounces. I don't think Shelovs was playing at his best. And also, I don't know if we know what his best really is. So my confidence level in the Canucks is still the same as it was pre-game yesterday. What I will say, the bigger concern for me is the division and winning the division. And look, the Canucks are still 4 points up on the Edmonton Oilers, and they do have the tiebreaker. So realistically, it's essentially a 5-point lead on Edmonton right now. But it does put way more emphasis on this Saturday's game in Edmonton between the Canucks and the Oilers, especially if Edmonton cashes in on these two games in hand that they have. The other thing that I've talked about on this show already, though, is Edmonton's got to play 5 games in the next 7 days. Like, that's insane. And to expect them to win all of those games, hey, maybe they do, but it's a big ask. And if we were talking about the Canucks in this situation, like, hey, you got to win 5 games in 7 days, I don't think we would have this ultra confidence that they could do it. And so I'm in the same position with the Oilers. I don't know if they're going to catch up to the Canucks. I would bet against it. But at the same time, that's the bigger thing about yesterday's result against the Coyotes, is that Pacific Division lead is more in doubt. And like, what I will say is, in terms of individual performances, there's no one I looked at yesterday and was like, oh, you needed to be better and you're the reason the Canucks lost this game. They took a lot of penalties. They were a bit undisciplined. And Artur Shelovs, I mentioned it. Realistically, I don't know how much confidence they have in him, but also you don't need to have confidence in him because he's not going to be the guy come the playoffs. So it's not, I don't have these big question marks about what the Canucks are doing. If that was Thatcher Demko in net, okay, warning flags are going off. I am very concerned, but that's not the case. And Lindholm came back last night as well, and I thought he played really, really well, was physical, good on the PK, and that's a good sign as well.
Breaking news coming out of Vegas today, Noah Hanifin signing an 8-year contract extension worth $7.35 million with the Golden Knights. Josh, what does this mean for Filip Hronek and his potential contract extension?
I know Canucks Talk was talking a bit about it, Jamie Dodd and Tom Strantz, earlier today, and I kind of agree with what they were saying about this Noah Hanifin contract. Is it, it's it's a comparable in my mind for Philip Peronic. The thing is, I don't think it changes either way where I think Peronic's contract is going to be. Like, this 7.35 for 8 years for Noah Hanifin doesn't make me think that Peronic's going to get more money than I would have thought a couple days ago, and it doesn't make me think he's going to get less money than I would have thought a couple days ago. What it is another guy kind of in that Peronic tier, they play different games, but in that Peronic tier of value who can be used as a comparable. And so that might just strengthen the chances that Peronic does get whatever he's asking for. When you kind of break down the players, so Noah Hanifin, Philip Peronic. Hanifin this year, I believe he has 44 points right now spread across the two teams, Calgary and Vegas. Peronic has 48, and he plays more minutes Peronic does. He's probably not as good defensively as Noah Hanifin is. And the other part of it is Noah Hanifin does this without playing with the same pairing or playing with the same guy every night, whereas Philip Peronic definitely does complement Quinn Hughes very, very well, but also that might go against him in negotiations because he's only playing with Quinn Hughes. And hey, if I was playing with Quinn Hughes, I might do decent as well. So that's I just don't know if it's going to be this big comparable, this Hanifin Peronic thing. And again, I don't think it changes much. So we'll see how it goes. What I will say is if Peronic got this contract, I would be a little bit nervous because I really don't like the 8-year term. And the term with Peronic is what scares me. I don't even really want to go above $7 million, though I understand that, hey, with how much right-handed defensemen are getting paid, with how many points he's put up, he's going to get over $7 million. It would make me a little uncomfortable. But if you were going over $7 million and all the way up to 8 years, like $56 million total is kind of a crazy amount for Peronic in my mind. If it was this AAV on a 6 or 7 year deal, I could probably get on board. But 8 years at this much, if the Canucks gave that to Peronic, I would be a little bit concerned.
Some good news coming out of practice today for the Canucks. Thatcher Demko practicing again, confirms it was a knee injury, and he said his goal is to be back, and the plan has always been to be back for the Calgary game.
It's kind of a, I don't know if that's, is that worrisome that he's going to be back for the Calgary game and not the Edmonton game?
Well, I was going to ask you, Josh, is two games enough for Demko before the playoffs?
I feel like it is, just based on, like, and we'll find out really quick, I guess, if it isn't. I'm fine with him only playing two games before the playoffs. I thought he was going to do that anyway, though I did think one of those games was going to be against Edmonton. And that's kind of the bigger thing is, if he was playing against Edmonton and he played well, I would have been like, you know what? Play two games. It's fine. He seems up to game speed. Playing against Calgary and Winnipeg, especially if the Jets aren't playing for anything on that last game of the year, I don't know if that's high enough competition to really get back up to where he needs to be in the first round. But also, even Thatcher Demko with a little bit of rust, I trust way more than Artur Shelov's or Casey DeSmith. So yeah, it's kind of something you just have to deal with. And hey, you know what? It's better to get two games than to go into it completely rusty, I guess. Though I was hoping he would get the Edmonton game, especially because there's more pressure on that game now. And putting DeSmith in or putting Shelov's in a game that potentially might be a must win if you want to keep hold of the Pacific Division or at least continue to control your own destiny. That's a little bit worrisome, but I'm okay with Demko getting two games before the playoffs. Again, I would have preferred if one of those games came against Edmonton, though it is good to see that he's back up to game speed, fully practicing at least.
Now today is a big day in sports. If you are hiding under a rock, today is the first day of the Masters.
I've heard of those.
And we do have our resident golf expert in the house today. I'm going to throw it over producer Ben for our Masters update.
+5 handicap, Ben.
I've been very focused all day on the shows.
Yeah.
The Masters got off to a bit of a weird start. a 2.5 hour weather delay this morning, delayed everybody's tee time. So there's a handful of groups. There's tons of groups still on the course right now. But the leader is Bryson DeChambeau. Very big personality in the game of golf. Goes out there and shoots 65. Scoreable conditions. He gets after it. And Scottie Scheffler currently in second place. He's 6 under par on the 18th hole. Corey Connors, the low Canadian of the day, he's 2 under par for the day. And, of course, everybody wants to know where Tiger Woods is at. He's currently even par on the 8th hole. And he's going to be one of those groups that probably won't be able to finish this afternoon. And then we'll have to tee off early tomorrow morning to finish the round and then play a second round as well.
Bryson, like, so what I will say about DeChambeau is I used to hate him. And lately, I don't know why, he's starting to, like, his, I don't know if he's
kind of personable.
Yeah, I don't know if he's toned down his, like, jerky personality, mm-hmm. but he seems like now I kind of want him to win.
Yeah,
but
he seems like one of those guys that kind of, I don't want to say lost himself, but was trying to be something maybe that he wasn't, mm-hmm. and is just kind of now having fun with it in a way. And he's got so much talent. He's an incredible player. He's a prior major winner. He won the U.S. Open a couple years ago, and he can have a day like this where he goes out there and shoots a unreal number and sets the pace for an entire tournament.
But Scottie Scheffler, he's the favorite, or he was the favorite going into it.
He should still be the favorite now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, I don't think we've seen this sort of consistency since prime Tiger Woods. I know we talked about it during the interview yesterday on the show, but it's just what this guy's able to do. It's so nonchalant. It looks so easy for him just to go out there and effortlessly shoot in the mid-60s on a golf course that is giving a lot of people trouble.
Yeah, and it feels like almost every shot I've seen of from Scheffler since I've been watching has just been, like, dialed. He's not making any mistakes.
He's hitting his spots, and so much of playing at Augusta and so much of this tournament is just hitting it into the correct spot on the fairway, on the green, and not putting yourself in a situation that will make you vulnerable to a three-putt or to bogeys or even worse. And he's so good at just picking apart a golf course. And that's exactly what you have to do at Augusta National to be successful.
You're a big Tiger guy, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. What have you thought about, like, how does he look?
He looks good. He looks strong. It's the first thing Elon and I commented on when we saw him walking into the driving range this morning.
Dude's jacked.
He looks
slow. Walk, the intense walk.
Yeah. Oh, and he looks
dialed
just,
in.
He looks
how intimidating that would be. You're like, oh my
Couldn't
goodness.
Imagine.
He's wearing his Sunday red.
But there's no limp. He's walking healthy. Everything looks good. His swing looks solid. He started off with a birdie on the first hole, which got everyone
electric.
Everyone a little bit excited.
Yeah.
But no, he's made a couple of really good putts, and I think Tiger Woods making the cut again, I think this would be his 25th straight made cut at the Masters if he were to do it, would be an incredible accomplishment. But knowing him and from all his interviews, he wants to win this thing. And I think, you know, he still has his sights on getting another green jacket. And, I mean, he's playing well so far. If he can get a couple birdies, maybe he can.
If this game, like, so DeChambeau and Scheffler, if it came down to those two on Sunday, how hyped would you be?
I think it'd be a huge draw for people because it'd also be a LIV versus a PGA Tour thing.
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
And so once again, you know, we kind of talked about it, was just last year, LIV took over a little bit. And now Jon Rahm, who won last year, is on the LIV Golf Tour. DeChambeau, one of the big members, paid hundreds of millions of dollars to join LIV. Top of the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler, the best player on the PGA Tour, the best player in the world. If that was a Sunday showdown, I think there'd be a lot of interested parties.
Definitely, for sure. 650-650, Dunbar-Lumber text line. Keep your texts coming in. Man, it's just like everything about the Masters is so fun. I don't know. I look forward to it every year, and then I definitely don't watch any other golf for most of the year. Even like
a lot of people are like that.
Even the other majors. Like I'll maybe watch on Sunday, but it's hard to get me in, but Masters, I'm locked in, man.
Thursday morning, you're like, I got it.
I came in today. I was like, why isn't this on TV? What is happening? We don't have all the channels here at Sportsnet 650.
It's okay.
We
got it on the computer.
It's fine. Could be better. Anyway, that's your Masters update. We'll maybe do a little bit more later. Before we move on to the next part of the TV, we'll take a text. This one from Paul. Would you say Hanifin's new contract helps the Canucks in negotiating a contract with Hronek? We kind of went over that. I don't really think it's going to change too much. And this one from Clay, Quinn Hughes was insane yesterday. I did want to say that. Like, yesterday I was watching, and over the last few weeks, it does feel like Quinn Hughes has taken another step. And for a lot of these players, like, they've never had to gear up for the playoffs before, and they've never had to find that extra step or take their game to another level late in the season. And it feels like Quinn Hughes is doing that right now. And I agree, Clay. He looked very, very good yesterday against Arizona. And it's wild because on some shifts, it's just like he was out there for, I believe, a shift that was over 2 minutes near the end of the game yesterday when they were trying to tie it at that time, I believe. And you're just like, man, he's trying to will his team to win. And he's fully capable of doing it. We've seen him do it before, and it's hard to there are only so few players around the NHL that you can look at and say that guy can go out and win a game on his own, and Quinn Hughes is starting to near that territory. And the Canucks also have a couple other guys that can do it in JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, and both of them, I think they've, especially lately with Pettersson, have elevated their game a little bit. There's still more to go, but I do think both of those guys have taken a step. If they take another step once we hit the postseason and the Canucks get Thatcher Demko back, like if everybody starts going at the right time, that's where things could get a very dangerous for the teams that will be playing the Canucks. But anyway, what's the next part of the tee here?
So Josh, earlier this morning when Ben and I were getting ready for the shows, we were kind of just talking about how mid to late April is such an amazing window for sporting events. Right, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, we got the Masters here. It's a great time. So I kind of want to look ahead to round one of a few series, and I want you to rank them based on your level of excitement. Number one, we have the Dallas Mavericks versus the LA Clippers, already confirmed as a round one matchup. We'll get into it a little bit more. Number two, Los Angeles Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors, a potential play-in matchup. And then, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Florida Panthers in round one. Josh, a lot to get into with these matchups. I'm excited for all of them. But I want you to take a stab at ranking these in most excited to least excited.
Okay. So you guys can chime in on this as well. Let's start from number three, like our least excited, and we'll work our way up to the most excited. So for me, least excited, going Mavericks-Clippers.
Right, and I thought you would say that.
Yeah,
so did I.
Predictable.
Maybe you're just a casual, but I mean, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Since March 7th, Dallas is 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like past years where they're teetering and, they have Luka. No, this is a really good team this year. They've put it together. And on the other side, you got Kawhi Leonard, James Harden,
yeah.
Russell Westbrook, Paul George. They've been good all season. They're finally healthy. That's a matchup I think everybody in the basketball community can't wait to see.
The thing about the Clippers, though, is they just always stumble in the playoffs. So I just
But so do the Mavericks, kind
so,
of.
So, yeah, well.
So one of them's got to
one of
them.
One of them has to
but
win.
It's kind of a year the Clippers have to win around.
Sure.
They have to.
But it's felt like they've had to do that in the past, too, and they don't.
But everyone's healthy this year.
Yeah, for now. We'll see what happens, like, game two of the playoffs, and then Kawhi's like, ah, my back. Anyway, what's your guys' number three?
I want to say it's the Leafs and the Panthers because I really just don't care too much for the Leafs.
Yeah.
But I understand that the Leafs lost them last year in an embarrassing fashion. And the Leafs have been playing well, and the Panthers have really faltered as of late. I think they're not getting a lot of attention because they're in Florida. Mm-hmm. But this was a team that was on the cusp of winning the President's Cup a couple weeks ago. And now they're just are completely falling off a cliff, it seems. Like, they got trounced in Toronto about a week or 10 days ago by the Leafs. It could be an interesting series, and everyone remembers the Gudas photo, even though he's not there anymore, of yelling into Walls or Samsonov's face after a goal. There's some bad blood there. It could be an interesting series, but it's going to be number three for me.
Yeah, okay. Okay, what's your number three, Elon?
Yeah, there's a lot of hype for it. And I'm pumped to watch it, but that has to be my number three. The other two are just too good.
So that's my number two is Florida Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like those two teams, when they get to the postseason, are going to be Like, that might end up being one of the better series of the first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially because, like, look, I don't like the playoff format in the NHL, but sometimes we do see series like this where it lines up and you're like, okay, these guys shouldn't be playing in the first round, but they are, and it's going to be really exciting. And for me, I'm more excited to watch Panthers Maple Leafs, and maybe it's because I'm a casual NBA fan, Elon, than I would be for Mavericks Clippers. Though that leaves Lakers Warriors playing as my number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
Because it's a game seven.
Yeah.
Whoever loses goes home. And it's Steph Curry, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be number one.
Yeah, this is going to be a throwback to the finals where we watch them every single year. Like Ben said, a game seven. One game just to get in the playoffs is crazy.
Does Draymond get ejected?
Does Draymond drop 5 threes again like he did last game against the Lakers?
What would be more surprising? 5 threes or getting ejected?
Five threes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. That dude loves to get
ejected. AD didn't play that game.
True.
If you had to pick the winner of those three series right now, well, I guess one of them is just a game. Of those three series, who do you think the winner, if you had to pick right now, would be? We'll start with, let's just start from Maple Leafs, Panthers. Who's winning that?
Panthers.
I'm taking Toronto.
Wow.
I'm going to say Panthers in six.
Seven.
Panthers in six.
Okay.
And you said Leafs?
I'm taking Leafs.
Yeah. Leafs in seven?
Leafs in seven.
Okay.
Wow.
And then Chargers, Clippers, Mavericks.
I got the Clippers in six.
I'm going to go Clippers in seven.
I'm saying Mavs in seven. Come on, guys. Come on. And then Lakers, Warriors.
Lakers.
I want to say the Warriors. I'll be cheering for them, but the Lakers are going to win.
I would. You're also just an anti-LeBron guy.
I know.
Yeah, but one game, AD and LeBron, I think they can get it. Yeah.
I think the Lakers are going to win, but I agree. I kind of am cheering for the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Steph is just much more of a...
showman.
Yeah.
But Elon and I were discussing this. If for LeBron, you really don't want to see Steph because he's maybe the one best guy in the league that can just take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
He can just absolutely light you up, and then you have no chance. He can just blow you out of the building. So
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be you guys are right though. Mid to late April are just it's the best.
So much fun.
It
every
is
night.
The best.
Every night there's something.
Mm-hmm. So we got the Masters going on right now. We all know Stanley Cup playoffs are coming up in a couple weeks and NBA playoffs nearing their start as well. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf. We got Elon Chark and Ben Bisseron here as well. On the other side, Dave Pignota of the Fourth Period is going to join us, and we'll get into everything going on around the NHL. It is the People Show on Sportsnet 650.